An English school teacher was looking for an apartment in Switzerland. And so she asked the local schoolmaster to help her find one. And he did. He found her a great apartment. So she went back to London to pack up her things to move. When she got back there, she realized that she had failed to notice whether the apartment had a bathroom, or as she called it, a water closet. And so she sent a letter off to the schoolmaster, and she asked if there was a WC, as she called it, a WC, in or near the apartment. Well, the schoolmaster got the letter, and he was very puzzled because he didn't know what a WC was. He didn't know that English expression, and he certainly had no idea that she was talking about a bathroom. As he tried to figure out what it could be, and finally, he consulted the parish priest. And together they decided that it must mean a wayside chapel. And so a few days later, the English school teacher received a letter from the schoolmaster that said, "The WC is located 9 miles from the house. In the heart of a beautiful grove of trees. It will seat 150 people at one time and is open on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Some people bring their lunch and make a day of it. The acoustics are very good. The slightest sound can be heard by everyone. It may interest you to know that my daughter met her husband at the WC. We're now in the process of taking donations to purchase plush seats. We feel that this is a long-felt need, as the present seats have holes in them. My wife, being rather delicate, hasn't been able to attend regularly. It has been 6 months since she last went. Naturally, it pains her not to be able to go more often. I will close now with the desire to accommodate you in every way possible and will be happy to save you a seat either down front or near the door, as you prefer." So there you have it. There's what happens when we make assumptions. As the school teacher assumed that the schoolmaster would know what a WC was, and the schoolmaster assumed that a WC was a wayside chapel. So you see, communication is everything. And one of the biggest impediments to clear communication is making assumptions. So this is why, in his best-selling book, The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz recommends as the third agreement, don't make assumptions. And like the second agreement before it, which is don't take anything personally, this third agreement to not make assumptions is, of course, easier said than done. Because we make assumptions all the time. All the time. We make assumptions about what people are doing, what people are thinking. We make assumptions about what people are saying about us, how they're feeling about us. We make assumptions about our friends and our family. We think that we don't have to tell our partner what we want, because they know us so well. And then when they don't do what we assume they were going to do, we feel hurt, like they should have known. Well, of course, they should be able to read our minds. And so there, in one fell swoop, we've gone from making an assumption to taking it personally to creating unnecessary drama. But we also make assumptions about ourselves. We may underestimate or overestimate our own capacity and our own sense of worth. And so we can be at either end of the spectrum on this. We may say, I don't have the skills to get a decent job. Or at the other end of the continuum, I can work 80 hours a week and still keep balance in my life. You see, we conjure up these stories, as we talked about last week, we conjure up this movie, we dream it all up, and then we believe it's true. And then after a while, the truth actually does come along and it pops our dream just like a balloon. And we realize that it was wrong all along. So a lot of times when we have mistaken assumptions, or not a lot of times, but sometimes, it's harmless. It can even be humorous, as in the case of the WC. But more often, making assumptions is harmful. And it can even be tragic. As when someone assumes that they are at risk and kills another person because of it. And if we really look into racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, all prejudice, terrorism, all violence, we find that it's based on false assumptions as well as fear. And so this agreement to not take things personally is actually quite, not to make assumptions is actually quite profound. In simplest terms, it means keep an open mind. It means don't stereotype. Don't judge. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't create something that causes suffering. Don't close yourself down or cut yourself off from additional information or insights. Don Miguel Ruiz writes, "We have the habit of dreaming with no basis in reality." He goes on to say, and this is very powerful, "All the sadness and drama you have lived in your life were rooted in making assumptions and taking things personally." That's a lot to think about. We're rooted in making assumptions and taking things personally. When we consider how much pain and even suffering is caused by making assumptions, we might wonder, well, why do we keep doing that? Well, probably out of force of habit, for one thing, but also it seems that we human beings have an insatiable need to know. We just cannot bear uncertainty. We cannot bear to not know something that is important to us. And so in the absence of any facts or information, we'll just make something up. Right? This is how rumors get started. This is how gossip gets spread. We make something up. And even if it's completely false, it gives us this sense of something to hold on to, you know? Like, okay, this is my explanation, and I'm sticking to it. And it gives us this sense of safety because there's no uncertainty anymore. But you know, that sense of safety is totally an illusion because we made this whole thing up. It's essentially a lie. And so if we really want to feel safe and secure, the way to do it is not by making assumptions, but actually getting rid of assumptions. It means clearing out our head of all these beliefs and ideas and suppositions and preconceived notions and prejudices and whatever it is. We go back to what spiritual sages have called original mind. I think of this original mind as being the same thing as Jesus was referring to when he said in Matthew chapter 18, "Truly I tell you that unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is a favorite verse, isn't it? A favorite scripture verse. Become like little children. Take on the mind of a child. You know, the mind of a child is like a clean slate. This is open and aware and impressionable. And Jesus goes on to say, be humble like a child. You know, children don't know everything. They don't have to know everything. They actually live in the world of not knowing, and they're happy there. And we can be as well. This land of not knowing is a land of all possibilities. It truly is the kingdom of heaven. When we're in that open-mindedness, all blessings begin to pour in for us. And in Zen Buddhism, they call this same state of consciousness, they call it beginner's mind or Shoshen. Beginner's mind is what we get back to when we release all of our brilliant opinions and our cherished beliefs. We let it all go. We clear our minds. We empty our minds. You know, an empty mind is a ready mind. An empty mind is an open mind. And the Zen Buddhists say that in the beginner's mind, There are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few. So we can see that when we think we know everything, that we actually are closing ourselves off. When we get in our heart set opinions about things, that we have limited our choices in life and our own possibilities. That sounds really great, doesn't it, to go back to beginner's mind? Really, that sounds really peaceful, doesn't it? So how do we get there? One of the first things is to get comfortable with not knowing. And even get comfortable with being able to say, I don't know. This is a very big deal. Because we really think we need to know everything. You know, Jesus was essentially saying, become like a child because you don't know everything and you don't need to know everything. And actually, we find that as soon as we say those words, I don't know, that it's a sure sign all sorts of new insights and understandings are going to come into us, right? I don't know. It's like saying, I want to be informed. I want to see it. I'm letting go of anything that might be getting in the way of it. And actually, if we say, I don't know, we may immediately feel a great rush of relief. We release the pressure that we put on ourselves to have all the answers. And not only that, but when we say, I don't know, it gives other people permission to say, I don't know. Right? Say it with me for a moment. I don't know. Together? I don't know. I don't know. One more time. I don't know. You know, we must get past this fear of not knowing, because that's the void from which all possibilities come forward. And once we are okay saying, I don't know, and admitting to ourselves that we don't know, the next thing, a fairly obvious thing, is to ask questions. It's so simple. Just ask. Just ask the question for clarity, as in, exactly what is a WC? Right? Simple, simple question. We as adults must get past being afraid and ashamed to ask for clarity. Really? You know, children ask questions all the time. It can be a little exasperating. The children ask questions all the time. But we know that that is how they learn and that's how they grow. And the same is true for us. You know, when I was a newspaper reporter, one of the first things that we were taught was to never be afraid to ask a question, even if you think it's a stupid question. And I learned very quickly that if I didn't ask those questions, I would get back to the newsroom and I wouldn't know what to write because I was too embarrassed to ask the question. And I found myself stepping into being able to ask even the most elemental question of somebody I was interviewing. And to a person, they were grateful when I asked. Because now they had a chance to explain it, to get us on the same page, and to hopefully help me write an accurate story. We needn't be afraid to ask a question. It really is like saying, I want to have honest connection here. I really want to feel that sense of oneness with you around this topic. And if you're ever in a class or a workshop at Unity Renaissance, or even as we have our discussion in this service today, if you have a question, please don't be afraid to ask it. Don't be afraid to ask it. We're all pulling for you. We all want to know too. And usually if you ask a question, there's somebody else that has the exact same question. Right? Have you not experienced this? Somebody asked a question like, oh, so glad they asked that. I was wondering the same thing. Let go of your ego here. You don't have to know it all. Just be an open slate. So we have a little, Richard and I have a little, and Scotty, we have a little demo to do for you about what can happen when we don't ask even the simplest questions for clarity.
Many years ago, Dave Barry wrote a memorable story about a couple named Roger and Elaine, who had been dating for some time. One evening, while driving home, they have the following conversation.
Roger, do you realize that as of tonight, we've been seeing each other for exactly 6 months? Geez, I wonder if it bothers him that I said that. Maybe he thinks I'm trying to push him into some kind of obligation he doesn't want.
Gosh, 6 months.
But hey, I'm not so sure I want this kind of relationship either. Sometimes I wish I had a little more space so I'd have time to think about things and whether I really want us to keep going the way we are. I mean, where are we going? Are we just going to keep seeing each other at this level of intimacy? Are we headed toward marriage? Are we going to have children? Am I ready for that level of commitment? Do I really even know this person?
So that means, let's see, it was February when we started going out. That was right after I took the car to the dealership, which means, let me check the odometer. I am way overdue for an oil change.
Oh my gosh, he's upset. I can see it on his face. Maybe I'm reading this completely wrong. Maybe he wants more from our relationship and more intimacy, more commitment, and maybe he has sensed that I have some reservations. Yes, I bet that's it. That's why he's so reluctant to say anything about his own feelings. He's afraid of being rejected.
I'm going to have them look at that transmission again. I don't care what they say. The thing just isn't shifting right. And they better not try to blame it on the cold weather this time. Cold weather. It's 87 degrees out, and this thing shifts like a garbage truck. I paid him $600.
Oh, he's angry. I don't blame him. I'd be angry, too. Gosh, I feel so guilty putting him through this, but I can't help the way I feel. I'm just not sure.
They'll probably say, oh, it's just a 90-day warranty. That's exactly what those guys are going to say.
Maybe I'm just too idealistic, waiting for a knight to come riding up on his white horse. When I'm sitting right next to a perfectly good person, a person I enjoy being with, a person I truly do care about, a person who seems to truly care about me, a person who is in pain because of my childish schoolgirl fantasies.
Warranty? They want a warranty? I'll give them a warranty.
Roger?
Yes? What?
Please don't torture yourself like this. Maybe I should never have... Oh, God, I feel so...
What?
I'm such a fool. I mean, I know there's no knight. I really know that. It's silly. There's no knight, and there's no horse.
No horse?
You think I'm a fool, don't you?
No.
It's just that I need some time.
Yes?
Oh, Roger, do you really feel that way?
What way?
That way about time.
Oh, yes, yes.
Roger, thank you.
Thank you.
The next day, Elaine will call her closest friend, or perhaps two of them, and they will talk about this situation for 6 straight hours. In painstaking detail, they will analyze everything that she said, everything he said, going over it time and time again, exploring every word, expression, and gesture for nuances of meaning. Meanwhile, Roger, while playing racquetball one day with a mutual friend of his and Elaine's, will pause just before serving, frown, and say, "Norm, did Elaine ever own a horse?"
It's funny, but I bet you've been there in some way or another. You see, it's so much simpler to just ask for clarity. So much simpler it would have been for Elaine to say, "Gosh, I hope I didn't put pressure on you by mentioning we've been together 6 months." And Roger could have said, "Oh, you know, actually, that made me think I needed to get my oil changed. Ha, 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 it's funny, and it's over." And it's over. That we can learn to be mindful in this way, to not make assumptions. We can learn that it's okay to say, "I don't know," to admit to ourselves we don't know, and to ask for clarity. You know, everybody has a right to ask for clarity. And when someone asks you for clarity, that is a blessing because they're inviting you into truer communication. So we can learn this. And if you are someone who is not used to asking these questions or asking for what you want, I encourage you to work on finding your voice so that you can. It makes all the difference. You see, as we do this, we return to beginner's mind, to child mind, to original mind. We open ourselves up for new insights, for new ideas, new inspiration. And we realize that there are many, many possibilities. And we actually give ourselves and others permission to do the unexpected. And in addition, my friends, as we learn to not make assumptions, we begin to break down the walls of intolerance, of judgment, and separation. Truly, we open the way not only for harmony in our homes, but peace in our world. Let's prepare now for meditation. Let's take a deep breath in, and then release and let go, release and let go, let go. And just allow yourself to clear away any busy thoughts, any concerns or worries. Settle into your own beginner's mind. This sense of wonder and joy and openness that is the perspective of a child. And just breathe. As we release the need to have all the answers and to figure everything out on our own, we feel a great relief and a great sense of peace begin to settle within us. We feel the consciousness of God within us. We feel this great peace surrounding us. Truly, all is well. All is well in our soul. We allow ourselves to sink into this peaceful place. This place of open-heartedness, of compassion, a real sense of our oneness. As we allow Spirit to speak to us in the silence. Thank you, Spirit, for the knowledge that as we let go, we truly do let God. As we release our assumptions, our preconceived ideas, we just open our hearts wide to feel our oneness with God and with each other. And we are so grateful that this is so, and we let it be. Amen.